The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, even though the disciples had locked the doors of the place where they were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood before them. "Peace be with you," he said. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. At the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. "Peace be with you," he said again. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive men's sins, they are forgiven them. If you hold them bound, they are held bound." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning. I'm reminded that the first deacon, St. Stephen, if you go back and read Acts chapter 6 and 7, was stoned for his preaching. So we'll see what happens here, right? But do you ever wonder why we don't seem to have the same witness or even the same power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the same way that the apostles did 2,000 years ago? And maybe that's just because the Holy Spirit is so misunderstood. I understand y'all have been told that before, right? You know, if you think about today's readings, they clearly associate the idea of the Holy Spirit with breath or wind. And that Greek word for wind is pneuma, or the Hebrew word is ruah. And they both have double meanings. They can mean wind, or they can also mean spirit. Our experience of wind, especially here in this part of the country, suggests that winds can be light, cool, breezy, and refreshing, or they can be powerful. They can rip trees out of the ground and turn buildings into kindling. And the idea of breath, well, we all know if you don't have breath, you what? You die, right? So our experience informs our faith, and we know that what wind is like, and we know what breath is like. But the power of the Spirit, that still remains quite a mystery. Especially since our culture tends to tell us that power lies in the ability to get what you want, to have others at your beck and call, to be in charge, right? To be rich, to be influential, or to be famous. So who is this Holy Spirit anyway? Some of us find it difficult to imagine the Holy Spirit. It's kind of hard to imagine a person who is described as breath or wind. I think we kind of get the Father. You know, we can get an image for the Father and the Creator. You know, we can get an image for Jesus, right? Our Redeemer. But the Holy Spirit? Just what does the Holy Spirit do anyway? You know, I think it's impossible to talk about the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, apart from talking about the Father and the Son. Why? Well, because God is Trinitarian, right? And if you think about, go back 1,500 years with me, and St. Augustine, writing about the nature of God, writing about the Trinity, says that God is a dynamic of love. He says that God is lover, beloved, and love itself. That's pretty awesome, right? And contemporary theologians would describe that as the Father pouring Himself into the Son, and the Son pouring Himself back into the Father, and that dynamic of love between them is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us. Do you know what this is saying? I think it means that the Holy Spirit is the love of God personified. You know, we hear all the time in the Bible and other places that God is love, right? 1 John chapter 4 says that explicitly. What does that mean? What is love? You know, we all experience, you know, romantic love or love of a good friend. But when we talk about God as love, it means that God wills our good for our good alone. Right? He doesn't need anything. He doesn't require anything. He's not acting so that we act in a particular way. He just loves. Wow. And if God loves like that, He doesn't need anything, He still wants something from us. You know what He wants from us? Us to love Him back. Because love can only be repaid by love. So when we say God is love, it means the very power of God is love. The very will of God is love. The very mind of God is love. And even the smallest, littlest, tiniest piece of the dynamic of God's love, if it's in us, is greater than the most powerful force on the face of the earth. God's love within us can move mountains, melt hearts, befriend enemies, heal broken relationships, and bring light into some very dark places. But I don't think we should think of God as static, you know, but rather as a dynamic, something that's happening, something that's moving, like the whirlwind in the book of Job. God is a swirling, dynamic force of love being poured out, received, and poured back again. Like that great whirlwind of love, but it's not a destructive one, but one that draws things up, that sucks things up, and then makes them new again. I think the whirlwind of God's love draws up human suffering and turns it into redemption. The whirlwind of God's love draws up death, and turns it into eternal life. The whirlwind of God's love makes impossible situations possible. The whirlwind of God's love fills our hearts with a real love, not a self-serving love, but a love that wants only the best for the other. And the whirlwind of God's love inspires us and challenges us to go and proclaim to others the love of God that we have witnessed in our own life. The whirlwind of God's love is the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered what it would be like when you get to heaven? Are we all just going to be fat little cherubs sitting around on a cloud strumming our harp? Well, I hope not. I'm already fat, but I hope not. No, I think that we will be caught up in that dynamic love of the Father pouring Himself to the Son and the Son back to the Father. We'll be drawn into the Trinity, right? Through the person of Christ who shares our nature with us. And it will fill us up beyond our imagination. And in this dynamic of love, we pour ourselves back to God. But the good news is, we don't have to wait till we die. The Holy Spirit, the very love of God, is coming to us right here, right now. This brings me to a final point. How many of you might remember a movie from a few years ago called Twister? Y'all remember that? Yeah, it had Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt in it, right? It was a good movie. And while there is a, you know, underlying love story between Paxton and Hunt, I think of it as an action-adventure flick, right? There's a lot of close calls with tornadoes and an attempt. They had this experimental instrument to measure the storm, right? And I think they call it Dorothy, right? And they want to get it where it goes up into one of these tornadic beasts. But I want to recall one particular scene from that movie when Hunt and Paxton have just launched Dorothy into this huge tornado, and their pickup too, if I remember right. They launched the whole thing up into it, and they're running for their lives, and the tornado is coming. It's looming on them, and just ahead is like a pump shed, and they dart into this shed, and it's about to fall apart anyway, right? And they get these belts, and they lash themselves to this pipe that runs deep into the ground. And if we think about it, if we remember that movie, just as the tornado comes and rips the shed to shreds, that's hard to say. I should have written that differently. Rips it apart, right? We see Paxton and Hunt turned upside down, being sucked into the tornado. Everything, but they cling to that pipe. And the lashing holds. And they remain behind, securely grounded by that pipe, sunk deep into the earth. Well, in a weird sort of way, this reminds me of God's love, the Holy Spirit, God's whirlwind of love. It can seem scary sometimes. The idea of letting go and being drawn up into such a dynamic can be very disconcerting. Honestly, I kind of like to keep things under control, right? Make sure everything happens just the way I think they should. I lash myself to my own ideas, my own prejudices, and my own wants. My hurts and sufferings are rooted deep in me. And I cling to them. I cling to all those things that I think are important or make me feel safe, secure, attached, lashed to something solid. Unfortunately, that's sunk deep into the earth. I'm sometimes afraid of the whirlwind of God's love. I think today on Pentecost Sunday, though, we are being called to let go of those things that we think we've got to have to keep us secure. That, but in reality, bind us, hold us back, chain us to the earth. I think we're being called to let go and let God in a way like we've never done before. To trust like we've never trusted God before. We are being called to let go and allow ourselves to be caught up in a whirlwind of God's love. To believe that we are called to be God's authentic witnesses to the world of the mighty acts of God. The mighty acts of God's love in our own lives. I think God is pouring God's very self into us right here, right now. And God is asking us to allow God's Holy Spirit to so pour our very self back to God that in that dynamic between us and God, other people are caught up in that. So will you pray with me for just a moment? And this is a great thing about the Holy Spirit. You don't even have to know how to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us, right? So pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.